Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Montana State University police officers' annual active shooter training, the hailstorm that hit Billings and other parts of Montana on Sunday, and Montana's Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines' appearance yesterday at a Missoula luncheon. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. It's Tuesday, August 13th. A program designed to address mental health awareness is coming to four high schools on the Flathead and the Rocky Boy reservations this year. It's part of the co-institutional $1 million grant between Montana State University and Stonechild College. Olivia Reingold reports.
Principal Kevin Kennelty says Ronan High School has been spared of suicides in recent years, but that some students still struggle with depression. He says every month about three or four kids visit the school counselor.
They say that they have had suicidal thoughts, may not have gone any further than that, but that there are thoughts of that. There are thoughts of depression.
He says the fact that kids are reaching out for help is a win, and he partially attributes that to the work Montana State University has already done at the school, getting kids to talk about mental health. For the past 2 years, each freshman class at Ronan High School has gotten training in how to cope with stress and crisis. Now,
we are tending to see kids that are more open to say, you know, I'm not feeling great. Can I go talk to the counselor?
So he's excited to ramp up what mental health support students already have access to. This fall, freshmen at Rocky Boy, Box Elder, Ronan, and St. Ignatius High Schools will get training in how to deal with depression. The $1.3 million grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture will also fund technology clubs, where students will design apps and e-magazine content about mental health. St. Ignatius Principal Sean Hendrickson says this program comes at a time of need for the community.
I would say over the last 3 years, there's been a lot of suicides in our valley.
He says the Flathead Valley is such a tight-knit community that one suicide can affect everyone. Montana has the highest suicide rate in the nation. Native Americans account for the highest demographic within the state. Like Principal Kennelty, Principal Hendrickson says there haven't been any recent suicides at his school. This program is about making sure that stays the case. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Health officials are considering requiring Montana schools to create plans for how they would make buildings airtight in the event of heavy wildfire smoke or other air hazards. The Billings Gazette reported yesterday that the State Department of Health and Human Services has proposed a series of school rules, but the requirements addressing air quality have school officials questioning how compliance would work. Several days after deadly mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, Montana State University police officers ran through their annual active shooter training. It came almost a month after a shelter-in-place order on campus and a few weeks before thousands of students arrive for the fall semester. Rachel Kramer reports.
Ceasefire. In Roski Hall dormitory, Federal Bureau of Investigation trainers and MSU police officers have just finished one of the active shooter simulations. They circle up to pull off their helmets and debrief.
Yeah. Okay, so who were my first two contact officers? Alright, what'd you have and what'd you see?
Came out of the hallway, saw several people in a hostage situation. Okay. With a gunman standing in front of them. He went and showed me his hands, then he fired rounds.
Okay.
And then we dove after him.
So our posture went from a hostage situation to an active shooter. Yeah. And that's where we changed our posture.
Yeah.
And
the simulations during the two-day advanced law enforcement rapid response training are chaotic, and that's on purpose. MSU's 21 police officers need to be able to identify a potential shooter in a sea of panicking students, says an FBI trainer who asked not to be named.
They're dealing with a lot, right? If somebody pops out of a door, are they just immediately shooting that person, or are they taking the time to identify, is this person a threat or not?
University Police Chief Frank Parrish says the recent mass shootings are on everyone's minds during this year's training.
Every time we hear about one of these situations happening across the country, it gives us pause to make sure that our training is adequate, and we're never going to rest on our laurels. We're always going to be looking for ways to improve and learning from these situations so that we're ready for should the unthinkable happen here in Bozeman.
In addition to active shooter training, police officers meet with counselors and residence hall staff weekly to discuss people who may pose a threat to themselves or others. And the university this summer added a new $300,000 firearms storage locker for students at the MSU PD station. It replaces the prior practice of each residence hall with its own firearm lockup. Over 130,000 officers and fire officials across the U.S. have gone through ALERT training, which is free to any law enforcement agency. An FBI trainer says ALERT will be updating its training after the recent mass shootings. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
A short storm Sunday night caused lasting damage for some people in Billings. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The storm came with wind gusts up to 74 miles per hour, heavy rain, and hail the size of golf balls. The wind blew branches off trees and flooded streets. Hail broke house and car windows. The damage drove many car owners to repair shops, like Master Lube Glass Doctor on Broadwater Avenue. In the garage, a service technician replaces a front windshield and drills the siding back into place. Manager Shelby Godfrey says it's been a busy day for auto glass repair.
So far this morning, I've already taken 143 phone calls.
And it'll be a busy week.
We got back windows, front windshields, we got side mirrors.
Godfrey says they're all booked up until next Thursday. Meanwhile, people spend Monday cleaning leaves and debris from yards and driveways, and the city of Billings assessed damage to public property. Public Works Director David Mumford says they'll pick up downed trees and clean up sewers, and clearing leaves and other debris will take a couple of weeks. He says that'll put some other city projects on hold.
We can't paint crosswalks and things until the leaves are up, so some things will be delayed and then we'll get to them.
The National Weather Service reported the worst damage on Sunday in Shepherd, Warden, and Huntley, north of Billings, where hail up to 2 inches in diameter fell. Meteorologist Julie Arthur says while Billings saw hail similar in size in May 2016, it's unique to get a storm like this one in August.
Usually we're drying out and the grasses are dried out and we're seeing an increase in fires, you know, around the area. But we've had a lot more moisture this spring into the summertime with a lot more rainfall. So that's helped us keep our thunderstorm season going longer than it normally does.
She says the storm lasted about an hour. State Auditor Matt Rosendale advises residents to document damage before beginning cleanup or repairs and file insurance claims where possible. The auditor's office says Montanans have been targeted by out-of-state contractors in recent years and that homeowners should be wary of unsolicited offers, high-pressure sales tactics, and incomplete contracts. You can find more information on YPRadio.org. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
This weekend's rain helped crews make progress on fires in western Montana. The North Hills Fire north of Helena was 100% contained, while the Horsefly Fire near Lincoln was hit with about an inch of rain and was 50% contained. Crews created a fire line around 20% of the Bees Cove Fire north of Missoula after about a half inch of rain fell over the weekend. Firefighters were removed from the lines by mid-afternoon Sunday due to the incoming storms. Montana's Republican U.S. Senator maintained his opposition to gun control legislation during his appearance yesterday at a Missoula luncheon. Some in the audience vehemently disagreed with his position. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Senator Steve Daines outlined his accomplishments and agenda for the almost 200 people who attended Monday's City Club of Missoula Forum at the DoubleTree Hotel and then took questions for about 30 minutes. One about gun control sparked the afternoon's liveliest discussion. Allison Cobb asked Daines to convince her that he's serious about reducing American gun violence. Daines, who's up for re-election in 2020, responded that more gun control won't necessarily prevent future mass shootings.
Here's my concern, is that members of Congress will want to message out to their respective constituents that we're doing something that indeed won't do anything to actually make our communities safer or our schools safer.
Daines says he currently will not support either expanded background checks or so-called red flag legislation that President Trump has been talking about. That would enable a state court to temporarily remove firearms from someone believed to present a danger to themselves or others. He drew a distinction between last year's mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School that left 17 dead in Parkland, Florida, and a threat made against a Montana school.
I met with some of the students there from Parkland, Florida. They all knew who it was when he started shooting. We had several opportunities to stop that guy. It didn't happen. Contrast that to Ravalli County, Montana. There was a young man who posted a threat on social media, and the students and the teachers and the administration, to their credit, they engaged the Ravalli County Sheriff Steve Holtman. Guess what they did? They went down to Darby and they arrested him.
What's the fix? How do we fix it?
Children are dying.
Dane suggested federal funds could be used to harden schools to prevent shooters from gaining access to them. That drew a few loud no's from the audience. One woman jeered him as a, quote, pawn of the NRA, end quote. Dane's pressed ahead, calling for deeper examinations of why some young men choose to go on shooting sprees. His response did not satisfy Allison Cobb, who asked Danes the initial question about his stance on gun violence.
The U.S. has more mass shootings than any other country in the world. Every other country has the internet, it has mental illness, it has video games. Every other country has social media and schools that people can go into. So what is it that's different about the United States that makes us vulnerable to mass shootings? It's our access to guns.
Longtime Missoulian Jerry Ballas says he's grateful Danes refuses to bow to calls for gun control.
One side will never be satisfied until they say they're going to start taking your guns. And I don't think that that's going to happen. It violates the Constitution. So I think the senator is trying to let people know that if you pass legislation, you really have to have something that is going to work and not just be something that you want to hear. And it's a really hard problem to solve.
Danes also said he supports full funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund at $900 million. In May, Danes sent a letter to leaders of the Senate Appropriations Committee he serves on, urging allocation of at least $600 million. That's not enough for the 25 or so people who demonstrated outside Dane's appearance in Missoula Monday. Among them was Aaron Murphy, executive director of Montana Conservation Voters.
In May, after he said he supports full funding of $900 million, Senator Danes asked the Appropriations Committee to kick in only $600 million. And so we're here to say two-thirds is not enough.
Murphy said Danes is in a great position to make full funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund happen this year.
One, he's in the party that controls the Senate's agenda. He could call up Senator McConnell and say, look, get this done for me. And two, he's an appropriator. So he serves on the committee, and we would have the same message for anybody who is in control of the Senate.
As he was leaving the hotel, Senator Danes chose not to engage with the demonstrators who waved their signs at the vehicle he was riding in.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.